How does Spock make his favorite dessert? With a Jell-O mind mold.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the alternative medicine assholes at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And the perfect combination of brains and bootay, night nurse Evie. Hello, Evie.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And our in-studio intern, comedian Cliff Andrews, a.k.a. 49 Cent. Oh, no, your mic. Oh, shit. My fault. Do it again. Now you turned it off.
To the right.
He's fucking up the show already. There you go. Try it now.
Jesus Christ. Hi. God, I'm so sorry.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you got a question, you're embarrassed to take to regular medical. That's how professional we are. We'll just let that go. We're less than 2 minutes in. We could just redo it, but fuck it.
Keep it going.
We're on. That's what it's all about.
If something's falling off, go to a doctor.
Right. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Poohhead.
If you're listening to us live, the number is 754-227-3647. That's 754.
Bear nip.
Bear nip. Ooh, that's my favorite, as you know, Night Nurse Evie. Or 22 penis. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine, at Lady Diagnosis, at Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at weirdmedicine.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy, or go to our merch store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, or whatever. So we need to get both of you guys Weird Medicine Twitter handles so we can get you guys some Twitter action on there. So maybe by next time. Yeah. You just create an account, tag WM on it, and then that could be a separate account for you. Because I know, Evie, you have a personal account.
Yes, I do.
But you don't want all these, you know, freaks
knowing
all the rest of your business.
I get enough of that on some sites.
I know you do. Oh, I can imagine. I cannot imagine being a woman on the internet. I've got to be honest with you.
Sounds like the worst.
It's interesting. So, I get unsolicited dick pics.
Yeah.
Especially, I got one from a guy I went to high school with, and I just opened it up, and there was this dick.
Oh, damn.
Uncircumcised. It doesn't matter, but...
Well, it mattered enough for you to mention it.
Well, right. I'm just saying.
It shook you.
It kind of shook me. I wasn't looking for turtle head at the time, but...
So, or aardvark nose, if it's uncircumcised.
Yeah, but I don't have anything against uncircumcised.
No, you better thank you for saying that, because anytime we say anything about circumcision on this show, I get 4 days of Twitter onslaught by the intactivists.
Yes.
So,
it doesn't matter to me, either or.
Yeah, that's what they call themselves, intactivists. Cliff likes to It's true.
While we're talking about that, can your foreskin grow back?
Once you've removed it, the foreskin can't grow back. Now, there's a procedure that you can do by pulling skin from the shaft forward and sort of getting it to stretch over time. Because, you know, skin will stretch. When you do a plastic surgery procedure, like if you're going to cover up a hole or if you're going to, for example, if you've had a mastectomy and you want to do implants, not enough skin there to just shove an implant under there right when you do the surgery. So what they do is they put an expander under there. And with a gentle pressure over time, and for the women that have had it, maybe not, they would argue, they would argue with the word gentle. But you're using a progressive pressure from underneath, and the skin will remodel itself, and it will stretch. And so you could do that with a series of sort of hook-like things to pull the foreskin.
Well, who would want to do that?
Well, people who are mad that
they missed their foreskin.
That their parents, you know, did this to them without their consent.
So I guess my boys were going to come back and go,
no,
mom.
Most of them won't. And, you know, we've talked about circumcision. Hell, I might as well get into it a little bit with you guys. There is some evidence that it does harm. A very small number of people are harmed by it. There is some evidence that it is beneficial to a very small number of people. There will be a very small number of people that will be benefited by by reducing the risk of penile cancer and certain sexually transmitted diseases if they don't have a foreskin. Now, so there's this bell curve. You've all seen the bell curve,
yes,
in school. So at the very left-hand side, there's a little tiny place you can shade in people who have been harmed by a circumcision. And at the very right-hand side, there's a little place where you can shade in a place that says people that have been benefited by circumcision. Everybody else is in the middle,
okay,
you know. So it's for them neither beneficial nor harmful. There, you know, the intactivists will make the point that it is a cosmetic procedure that is done without the patient's consent, and they're absolutely right about it.
Yeah.
Because there is, you know, if there was a known overwhelming benefit to it, then it would make sense from a medical point of view to do it. But there really isn't. So it really is. It's a choice. We give the parents the choice to do it or not do it. And then, you know, there's the religious aspect of it as well for, you know, our Jewish brothers and sisters who, you know, have their kids circumcised as a matter of ritual. And, you know, but again, it is, for the most part, a surgical procedure done without the patient's consent.
Well, I can see, you know, those who have not been circumcised. I hear that, you know, as far as like masturbation, it's, you know, pretty epic.
Well, and what do they have to compare it against?
Yeah, I think it's pretty epic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, yeah,
I think it's, yeah, it's totally fine.
I don't know, how do they?
Now, we have a friend who had a circumcision as an adult, and he used to be on this show all the time. We need to get him back. And he had one of the arguments against doing it as an adult was that it was so painful that nobody would do it. And our friend Sam Roberts had he had what's called phimosis, where he couldn't retract the foreskin, and when he'd piss, his foreskin would just balloon up. That's how tight it was.
No.
And then he'd have to squirt it out of this balloon, you know, at the end of his penis.
He had a piss balloon.
And he had a piss balloon, exactly right. And so he said it was the most painful thing for a week he was on the couch. Well, our friend Jefferson had one, and I'm not breaking HIPAA. He talked about it on the show. They have a new procedure where they sew everything back up instead of leaving it raw. And he had no pain whatsoever. As a matter of fact, he played softball the next day.
Very next day, yep.
So that right, it was a bit of a show off. But that sort of lays to waste the argument that people wouldn't choose to do it as an adult because it's so painful.
Right.
So now every kid that's ever had it done as an infant, nobody remembers it. I don't remember it.
No.
I'm sure I cried my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
I've done, you know, in training, we had to do circumcisions. And I trained so long ago, it really wasn't a political thing then. And we did a penile block on those kids. Now, you're sticking a needle in their dick, and they didn't like that. But then after that, they'd be just sucking on their pacifier while you're chopping their foreskin off, and they're not making, you know, no noise whatsoever, no rapid breathing, nothing, because it was numb. So I don't know. You know, the intactivists that come after me, which is hilarious, because I'm really more on their side than I am on the other side.
Yeah.
I really think it's an issue of consent, and I totally see their argument on that.
I do think of what my penis could have been, you know.
Yeah, do you?
I think about if I still had my foreskin. What could it, you know, what adventures am I missing out on?
I don't know.
Not lubrication, maybe, of jacking off?
Girls going, what the hell is that?
Yeah, you know, it's just.
I don't have anything against. I mean, I used to date a guy for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Well, and when it's erect, you can't really tell.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it retracts naturally.
It does. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But I think, you know, as you're growing up, it's just something you do.
Right, right, right. No, that's right. It's become a kind of a cultural thing where we just do it. And then I hear fathers saying, well, I don't want to not do it because I don't want my kid to look different in the locker room. Well, if everybody just decided we weren't going to do that, we'd have a whole generation of kids with foreskins and they would all look the same. So,
yeah.
You know, but anyway. But anyway, that's
like a surprise. So what am I going to get today?
And you get to peel that thing back,
yeah,
and there's a treat.
See what
in
I'm
there.
Getting? Yes.
You get a little cheese for your crackers.
Like yes. Opening a Christmas.
Yes.
Cracker. Sweaty sleeve of Oreos. Just really.
All right. Let's take a quick phone call here. Oops. Uh oh. What did you say, Ronnie?
Take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Well, wait. What?
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Thank you, Ronnie B. Area code 954, you're on Weird Medicine.
Hi, Steve. Friends, how's it going?
Hey, good man.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey. You want a quick phone call? You've come to the wrong one.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's totally fine. Totally fine.
So my question is actually a two-part question or a two-part debate. I was looking on the BBC a couple of weeks ago, and I come across something. A study that some Cambridge professor come across that linked depression to inflammation. So he's basically saying that when you have serious inflammation from some sort of condition, it causes depression, and different from the sort of depression that you get with the condition. Have you come across this? Have you thought about this? Is this widely known in the medical community?
It's not really, but inflammation is the root of all medical
disease,
evil.
Yeah. All disease.
So it doesn't surprise me. The question is the inflammation causing the depression or the other way around? Now, you know, one sort of hypothesis of depression is that people who are depressed have a deficiency in these things called monoamine neurotransmitters. That's why we use the early antidepressants targeted these monoamine neurotransmitters, and it leads to low amounts of serotonin and norepinephrine in the brain. But there are some forms of depression that may be linked to ongoing low-grade inflammation in the body, and that makes total sense to me.
Yes.
You know, people with bad teeth who have inflammation in their mouth have an increased risk of heart attack and stroke.
Yes.
And we look at cancer and how the real fight against cancer is going to come from the immune system. If we have a targeted form of inflammation, so their inflammation could be good, but the inflammatory types of cancer tend to be really rampant, you know, and angry types of cancer. I think the study that you're looking at was the one in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry. And what they did was they looked at 14,000 people between 2007 and 2012. And they screened for depression, had blood samples drawn, and they found that the people who had depression had 46% higher levels of a thing called C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammatory disease. Now, they were only able to establish an association between the two. This does not imply causation, so we don't know if the depression causes the inflammation for whatever reason. You know, it messes with your immune system, or is the inflammation causing the depression? So we know that stress definitely increases inflammation in the body. Exercise probably decreases inflammation, although you could have short-term inflammation of joints if you're, yeah. You know, if they get roused up because you're exercising for the first time in years.
Lots of foods, Dr. Steve.
Yeah, I wonder how much data there is on that. Harvard has a list of inflammatory foods. Sure. You want to throw some out there?
Well, I mean, anything that's you know, high in fat and low in nutrients is going to be way up the list. High in sugar or high in anything that your body doesn't tolerate. Me, for instance, shrimp. Yeah. You know, shrimp's going to cause inflammation in me, and it's going to cause depression because I feel crappy.
Well, things that decrease, foods that decrease inflammation, right off the bat, thing we've talked about in this studio many times is turmeric.
Sure.
And tomatoes, olive oil. Olive oil is a monounsaturated fat. That's a good fat.
Avocados.
Fish, almonds, walnuts, berries, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, Dr. Scott, just because we're looking at this inflammation and depression link, and we know turmeric is an anti-inflammatory, do a PubMed search on turmeric and depression.
Oh.
And now that wouldn't that be interesting? We'll just make that link right now.
Yeah.
Well, can I just take a moment to just appreciate the accent? I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm loving it.
Badass.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
954, you're South Florida?
Yeah, I was formerly Mark from London, but we've just moved to the Miami area.
Oh, so, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'm now Mark from Miami instead.
Cool, say that again. Say that again, please.
You need to come to the studio. I believe you and Night Nurse Evie could make a go of it right now.
Yeah, we were down there not too long ago in that area. So
well, I came back from London with my kids too, and that was the first trip out of the country. I wanted to take them someplace where they'd feel kind of at home.
Yeah,
and they really did, and they loved it.
I have family in London, so in law.
You know, TV London there is a little different. They have a game show called The Chaser. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Now, you know what I'm talking about?
Mark?
Yeah, the Chase. Yeah, I think they're trying to do it over here as well.
Okay, so they have a black guy on there, and they call him the Dark Avenger.
Oh, no.
The Dark Destroyer.
The Dark Destroyer, The Dark Destroyer. And it is and we were just like, I cannot believe they're saying this. So,
okay.
The Dark... Here, with the British accent to it. Yeah. And here he is, the Dark Destroyer. I can't do a British accent.
The Dark Destroyer is here. Yeah,
there you go.
It's the name for my penis.
Yeah, oh, awful.
And he revels in it. Okay, so here we go.
Okay.
An anti-inflammatory compound in turmeric may benefit those with depression. Researchers are finding mounting evidence that an anti-inflammatory compound in a common kitchen spice might help reduce symptoms of major depressive disorder. So there you go. Huh.
Give yourself a bell.
So I think it's fascinating. I think we're looking more and more at inflammation as a root cause and surely as a marker of disease. And it'll be if the turmeric improves depression in a clinically significant way, that does imply that it's the inflammation causing the depression, not the other way around.
And it can heal cavities, too.
What, turmeric?
Yes.
Get out of here.
I've tried it. It actually works.
Yeah. How do you heal a cavity?
Well, it just draws out the toxins, I guess, or you know,
it just
whatever.
Makes it hurt, bless. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you still got
to
feel it.
Yeah, you still have to feel it, okay. But it just, yeah, I had to, you know, try it on a baby tooth, so yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. Yeah, there you go.
Cool.
I'm not going to call bullshit on that. I have no data either way on that one.
Yeah, so the bottom line is antidepressants or anti-inflammatory diets may help with depression.
Yeah.
Very possible, yeah.
Always so don't self-treat for depression. If you have clinical depression, you still need to be followed by a healthcare provider. But anyway, Mark, what were you going to say?
So just the second part, which kind of follows on from that, is I've always been fascinated why the human body, without any kind of medical intervention, uses things like inflammation to sort of to react to injuries and diseases. Right. If it's so natural, if it's sort of in our genes, why are we so quick to change it? And the same with temperature. If you know, temperature is there to fight viruses, why are we so quick to reduce temperature?
Right.
I'm not really sure what the thinking is.
Okay. So I have a sort of an answer for you. Yeah. One thing is, so chronic body inflammation, and you're right, we use inflammation to fight off bacteria and stuff when we get an abscess and you know, wall it off and try to kill the bacteria inside. So it seems like a good thing. But chronic inflammation kills us when we're 65, 70, 80, 50, somewhere in there, long past the time when our ancestors had already passed on their genetic material to the next generation. Mm-hmm. Our ancestors started procreating probably between 14 and 16,
sure.
And were done by the time they were 20 something because they were dead by the time they were 30.
Right.
So these things that we look at now, like cancer, and these are things that are, except very rarely, our ancient ancestors really didn't have to deal with. These are products of errors that have no evolutionary drive to them. There's no evolutionary drive for me to have a healthy immune system at age 60, right? Because I'm done passing my genetic material on. So that's why. And now the temperature thing, temperature does help the body to a certain extent fight viral infections. And to a certain extent, bacterial infection. No one's ever cleared a virus from their body because their temperature was elevated.
Right.
You know, it may facilitate it to a small degree, but that's almost really a byproduct of total body inflammation rather than a truly beneficial cause. So you're not going to prolong any pneumonia or anything by giving somebody ibuprofen for their fever.
Right. And certainly another reason why we see, you know, certainly for me, not Dr. Steve, but, you know, we see people in our office all day long, in our pain medicine clinic all day long. It's all about inflammation. And most of that inflammation is not beneficial.
Right.
You know, so it's systemic. So, and like you said, the evolutionary changes have caused us to have more wear and tear on joints, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If we can keep the inflammation out of those joint spaces, it's a better quality of life. So that's a big, you know, if the inflammation were helping to control an abscess tooth or something, that'd be different. It's, you know, it's to warn us that there's an infection in a certain area.
Right.
That's one thing. But, you know, when your nose is clogged up and you've got this histaminic response going on in your sinuses because of inflammation, that's not a good quality of life.
Allergies is a good example of that. You know, that's an adverse effect that didn't stop our ancestors from fucking each other. Right? Right?
That's right.
You know, if they had a runny nose, you know, in the caves and
nobody
gave a shit.
Yep.
And so we didn't select against that.
Right.
And it is sort of a maladaptive response to these allergens or antigens that are in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yeah, that's why. Is that a satisfactory answer?
It was more complicated than I thought, actually, because I just thought that there was, like, say, with inflammation, it was just a case of just stopping inflammation from getting too out of control. And the same with temperature. My daughter had Kawasaki's a little while back.
Oh, wow.
And her temperature was through the roof. And it continued for a long time. And it took a while for them to actually sort of pick up that it was Kawasaki's.
Oh, yeah.
We kept on pumping her full of the, you know, the usual acetaminophen to try and drop the temperature.
Yep.
And so my thinking was, well, if there's a virus and she's fighting it. Is that not what the temperature's for? But,
right.
But yeah, so I was a bit unsure what the science behind it was.
Yeah, that Kawasaki, how's she doing? She doing okay?
Yeah, actually, and I've mentioned this to you before, she's also a tetralogy of Fallot patient as well.
Oh, so I remember you. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she has a heart condition, and then she has Kawasaki's, which the major issue is that it can affect the coronary system.
Sure, inflammation of the medium-sized arteries throughout the body. But, you know, there's medium-sized arteries in and around the heart, so...
Mm. So she's doing well, though. She kind of came out of it with the right treatment, you know, pretty well, which is surprising. So she's been clear of it for about 6 months now. But we, that was a pretty hard time at the time. But she's doing well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, good. Well, give her, how old is she now?
She's just about to turn 4.
That's right. Because you called in right when she was diagnosed with the tetralogy, didn't you? If I remember right, or soon thereafter.
It was, because I sent a couple of emails because there was a the condition itself was easy to sort of pick up and understand and follow, but the root cause and where it comes from was a bit hard for especially my wife to accept.
Yeah,
there was a certain amount of blame on her part, even though it's completely. Ridiculous,
yes.
You know, that there's no blame. But yeah, so I wrote you an email at the time, and then I think I called in shortly after and discussed it further, yeah. So.
Yeah, I had a friend who was an anti-vaccine person, and then she decided, mainly because of pressure from the school, to vaccinate her kids. So she had 5 of them. One of them, about a month later, developed type 1 diabetes. You'll never convince her that the two things weren't related.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's the same thing with influenza vaccine. You know, there are certainly, if you have 100,000 people that are getting influenza vaccine on any one day, well, let's just say 10,000 on any one day, there will be, you know, maybe 100 of those that got exposed to influenza on Saturday.
They just don't
and
know.
And they were going to get it on Wednesday because it's already in their system. They get their flu shot on Tuesday and then they get influenza on Wednesday. You'll never convince them that the flu shot didn't cause the influenza, you know. And folks who have kids that have a problem like tetralogy, which, by the way, it's a heart defect. They call it tetralogy because it's four different problems in the heart. One, there's a hole between the lower chambers of the heart. There's an obstruction from the heart to the lungs. And the aorta kind of lies over the hole in the lower chambers. And then the muscles surrounding the lower right chamber are overly thickened. So there's four problems with that. And, you know, folks that have a kid that has something like that will look to themselves to blame themselves for it. And it's unnecessary. You know, if you have a kid that has fetal alcohol syndrome, yeah, you can blame yourself for that because you drank too much alcohol at a bad time during your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But something like this is just one of those sporadic things that just happens. And there's, you know, you can't predict it and you can't prevent it, but at least it's treatable, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of surgery.
Yeah, she's had 4 surgeries so far, most of which have been cath procedures, which is amazing.
Wow, that is amazing.
She also had she had MAPKAs as well, which has made it even more complicated, which are those medial collaterals that kind of grow and create bypasses to sort of allow the blood to get to where it has to go. So she's had an operation to close those. She's had the open heart surgery. She's probably due in the next 5 years to have a valve replacement. But to look at her, you would never know.
Yeah,
she's a normal
awesome.
Child. Yeah, she behaves normally. It's great.
That's awesome. Well, give her our best, and thanks for calling in. Give us an update, and thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Very stimulating question.
I enjoyed the show thoroughly.
Okay, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Yeah, if he was here, I think he probably got some from Night Nurse Eva.
She's a sucker for
the accent.
The accent was pretty dope.
He could have got some from Cliff, too.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, try something once. You never know.
Of course, I'm used to the Australian accent, too. So.
Oh, that's true.
That turned out fabulous.
I don't trust anybody from a place where the toilet water spins in the other direction. I just don't.
There you go.
Now, I can't do any accents at all, but when I was in, other than the one that we have around here, which I originally had, and then I lost it in school doing
his radio voice.
A whole year of losing the accent class.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we could talk about that technique sometime.
They actually do say g'day, mate. They do that.
They do?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, when I was in high school, we used to have these girls that would call. I went to a boys' boarding school, not because my parents were snooty, but because I lived 45 minutes from the nearest high school, and it was in the mountains, and I had 4 miles of dirt road to get to my house. And so this boarding school was really inexpensive, and so I was there, and I was there for 3 years. And during my senior year, these girls would call one of the dorms, and I would put on this fake accent. It's like, hello, my name is Sven. And and they were all over that. They just had to talk to Sven all the damn time.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and it was just the accent. I had nothing to say. I have no game.
No. You got an accent, you don't need game.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly right.
That That's is your game.
Or magic. He's got magic.
Or magic. Or magic. Dude, a magic with an accent.
They're, ooh, that would be the
throwing
thing.
Throwing vagina yes. at you.
Panties are just dropping.
Now, just dropping. Magic is a really good icebreaker for somebody that has no game. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of close-up magic tricks that look like real magic. And that helps me because I can amaze somebody right off the bat and then they're intrigued.
You got them. You've got them at that point.
Yes, you've hooked them.
But you got to be careful. Like Somerset Maugham in one of his books, I can't remember which one it was, but I remember the quote. And they teach this to all magicians too. The quote is, he asked me, did I like card tricks? I said no. He did five. So you never, as a magician, want to do magic for an unwilling audience because it's not going to go well.
You know, honestly, that actually can apply to comedy as well. And just in general, not necessarily the card trick, but just asking the audience a question.
Yes.
You open yourself up to the answer, no. Right. So, I mean, right. You know, if you just do it, if you just do the trick.
Yeah, you want to hear me do a song? No.
No, I
don't. Not really.
Yeah, we're good.
Oops. Thanks for coming, guys.
And then you do it anyway and you get one of these. All right, your comedy chops still up to snuff? You've been practicing? I mean, you've been doing some sets and stuff?
I've been doing YouTube videos.
Oh, you have?
Oh, okay.
So I've been trying to work on more of like my off-the-cuff type of...
Do you want to plug it?
Yeah. If you go on to YouTube, look up Rants in My Pants.
Okay.
It is a radio, television, and film review show. We do a new episode every week.
Really? Who are you doing it with?
Right now, I'm doing it by myself, and just friends will come in, and they'll help if they're available. But I did a Disney review by myself the other day that probably pissed you off. Cause it's
really?
Got some,
what? What'd you do? Frozen?
Frozen's on the list, obviously, because that movie's bullshit. And I got Lion King on there. I've got...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's some...
Oh, so you're doing some, like, real, actual Disney stuff.
Oh, wow. Yep. Is this like when if Disney was ratchet kind of thing?
It's the worst animated Disney films is that list. But I could definitely do something... I'm open to suggestions, so...
Okay.
It's been going on for a few weeks, so...
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, cool. Okay. So Rants, like R-E-N-T-S, in my pants.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Check that out.
Rants in my pants.
All right. Let's take one more, and then let's get out of here. This is going to be a short one.
I don't know if y'all can, the next time Kratom comes up or if you want to play this or whatever.
Yeah, it's come up now.
If you remember, I called you guys, God, it's probably been 6 years ago now.
Oh, yeah, I remember that,
using
exactly.
Kratom to come off of opiates, and I used Kratom for about 16 months, every day, no breaks, and of course, addict behavior, I kept up in my dose, and suddenly one day, it like switched on me, and all the positive effects I was getting from it became negative.
Okay.
So whereas instead of relief from anxiety, I was getting intense anxiety, paranoia, depression. So I quit it cold turkey, and I called you guys back then.
Yeah. No, and we actually, talked
about
I do
it and whatnot because I thought I had permanently damaged my brain. But anyhow, I kind of want to talk about it because. Fast forward now, I'm on Suboxone, which I talked to you about that too, you may or may not remember, and I'm getting, you know, I'm still on it, my maintenance dose or whatever the hell you want to call it, going to therapy and doing all that fun stuff, and
good.
We're getting ready to start finally tapering me down, but just, if there's anybody out there that's wanting to take Kratom, whatever, you've got to be careful with it.
Okay. Yeah, good. I'm with him. Congratulations on your impending sobriety and for taking charge of the situation, getting some treatment. Kratom, very interesting substance. It is an alkaloid that also hits mu opioid receptors. So there may be some benefit in this stuff. The problem I have with it is anything that hits the mu opioid receptor is going to ultimately be habit forming. And so people are trading one addiction for another. And there are just too many stories of adverse effects for me to be able to say, yeah, I think it's cool that you just go out and do Kratom. I don't like the idea of people treating their addiction by themselves, going to some head shop, buying Kratom, and trying to treat themselves. Just go get help. And there are addictionologists out there that will be understanding, non-judgmental. Go to an NA meeting and get this stuff taken care of. And in the meantime, I'm going to advocate that we do research on Kratom and spend a lot of money on it, because this is a very active molecule that has some really interesting properties that in the future I think we could use if we can standardize its use and synthesize the molecule, maybe modify it to get rid of some of the adverse events and use it clinically. But until then, I can't... I can't endorse it.
The more you increase, the likelihood.
Agreed. So don't forget stuff.drsteve.com, tweakedaudio.com, offer code fluid, and simplyherbals.net. And we will see you next week. Check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.